we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm chatting with Pam and Frank Masiotro, a husband and wife pair from Warrington who've been involved in many twists and turns in the history of Reopen Bucks. Pam is an admin of the Facebook group CBSD Back on Track, one of many groups that sprung from Reopen Bucks during 2020. And Frank has long been involved in local conservative politics. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Josh.
So I honestly can't even remember a time or a story element of Reopen Bucks where you guys weren't there and involved and part of the picture. So I'm curious, how did you find Reopen Bucks? Why did you decide to join?
So I think I found it because I saw a news report, and I think it was when I remember you and Shannon being interviewed at the county courthouse. Mm. It was a protest. There were some children there. It wasn't a ton of people, but it was enough that it drew the news attention. And I saw your name and I saw Reopen Bucks. So I went on Facebook and looked, and I found it, and I joined, and Frank joined. And I was just kind of sort of following what was happening. And, you know, because we felt very much like that.
We were joining a bunch of the Reopen Bucks.
Yeah, there was Reopen Bucks and the Reopen PA, I think we had joined. Mm-hmm. But we were very much like, well, we never stopped working. My office shut down for about a week, but we were still seeing emergency patients. I work for a chiropractor here in Central Bucks, and Frank works for a pharmaceutical. And you never.
Nah, I never missed a day. We worked through the whole thing.
So both and then, essential and working. And you had already, by the time Reopen Bucks shows up and we have that first rally, you're already like, all right, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Let's like get back to normal life.
Yeah, enough already. And our kids our daughter at the time, our son had been doing an internship during the summer. So, of course, he didn't have that. And then our daughter was working at a local grocery store, and she never stopped working. So it was getting frustrating. We wanted to, you know, get life back to normal, especially for our kids. So, yeah.
So in that aspect of everybody's working, you guys, your life didn't really change much, it sounds like, just because of the work situations. When was your first experience with COVID itself? Probably be like months later.
Well, you actually,
I had COVID before it was COVID in January, but then afterwards we realized it was it.
Yeah. Yeah. He had gotten his antibodies tested months later.
Story here.
Yeah, but our first instant with like COVID ourselves?
I guess curious because, you know, at the time it was this whole, obviously the mindset was so different way back then. It's hard to think back and compare.
I mean, it's funny because I was looking through some of the old posts trying to, you know, think about what was happening back then. It's kind of interesting to go back. I stayed home for a week with my kids and we started baking and I was, you know, refreshing their memories on doing laundry and stuff
that. It was
and,
2 weeks, remember?
Yeah. So. Yeah. 2 weeks. Just like, yeah, it was 2 weeks, right?
And everyone was okay, 2 weeks. But then after the 2 weeks and then two months and, you know.
But it was funny because you were kind of like, I remember you, Frank, were kind of like, I was like, okay, this is, you know, this is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. This is what they're asking us to do. We'll just do it. And you were like, from day one, this isn't right. And he was like irritated with the whole thing from the beginning.
Well, that's going to go straight to what I think we're going to spend a lot of time talking about, which is like Bucks County politics. Mm-hmm. You guys are the first ones on who I think represent the strong conservative sector of Bucks County politics. Mm-hmm. And I've been a little timid to figure out when are we going to have this on the podcast. It's obviously been such an important part of the story, the involvement with politics. I still chuckle every time I think of the fact that the group like endorsed candidates last fall for school board. I mean, what is this? Like we're a political movement, blah, blah, blah. But you guys had a lot of background in that. So obviously the feelings of, you know, this is wrong. Like the government should not be doing this to people, to business owners. I mean, we had Carl Fish on the podcast. He was chained in his gym.
Yeah.
We've had people on the podcast who were fired from jobs for voicing their opinions and stuff. Right. Like it was kind of messed up.
It was really awful.
So how did you guys, I guess, prior to COVID and just going back however far it takes, how did you guys get there politically to where, I mean, I'd say you're pretty strong conservatives. Yeah. Is that a fair assessment.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Very conservative.
Yeah. So I was raised in a conservative household. And then Frank was raised in a non-conservative household.
Yeah,
actually.
I was raised as a Democrat, you know, for in a union household, though. It wasn't liberal.
Blue collar. Yeah, that's different.
But the whole Democrats changed. But I became a conservative when we were in college in 1994 when the assault weapon ban came with Clinton, and that was it. Mm. And ever since then, I've been arguing with politicians. And, you know, back then it was Greenwood I was arguing with at Bucks County Community College about the assault weapon ban.
Yeah, he was our congressman.
Way before Fitz.
PA-08, I think it was back then. I think it was 8, whatever. But anyway, he was our congressman, Jim Greenwood, back then. And, and so, I don't know, we eventually find each other, get married, the whole story. And we've just always been, it's just always been that way. I mean, we're Christians, we are freedom lovers. Mm-hmm. I'm a constitutional conservative, but he knows the Constitution very, very well. He's studied it. And so we just think basically treat people well and leave people alone and, you know, let us earn our money, take care of our families and, you know, go about our business.
Yeah, it's just so bad now. I mean, we have to do something, everybody. I mean, you guys got involved, other people that never got involved. So that's why, you know, we're running for local committee and I'm running for state committee. I didn't think I'd want to run for stuff, but you can't sit on the sidelines. You got to get in the game.
Yeah. And you guys, I mean, you're going back to 1994 in describing the story. I'm like, I got here, we moved to Bucks in 2018.
Yeah.
And really, I knew absolutely nothing about the place, the politics, the people, whatever, in terms of the political people, until we started Reopen Bucks. So this is all like brand new to me. And it's always interesting to see when people have a lot of background and have been through it. I mean, it sounds very similar. What you described is what was going on in 1994. That sounds very similar to what you're doing today. It's like your conservative position has never really jived well with Bucks County.
Right.
And so, I mean, just to get started on that track, which again, I think we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this. What is that rub? Like, why is Bucks County there's a lot of conservatives here. I'd say that was kind of a defining feature of Reopen Bucks and everything we were able to do is there's just a lot of people who are willing to say, I ain't wearing no mask or I'm not doing that. Like they were defiant and willing to be civilly disobedient and stand up for their freedoms. That takes a pretty hard cut person. And there weren't big groups like that in other counties. So why is it then if that exists in Bucks County and we proved it with our movement, where's the holdup? You know, like why has it always been kind of like moderate, you know, in terms
of it's the party. I mean, we went to a George W. Bush rally. What was that, in 2004, that rally at the farm?
Yeah, it was his second term.
And when we went there, you know, you had Rick Santorum, who was the conservative guy then, right? And he's up on stage, and he's telling we got to vote for this. And then all of a sudden, him and George W. Bush were telling us to vote for Arlen Specter. And
who
the
was our
whole
other senator.
Place booed.
Yeah.
And George W. Bush was like, no, we got to get him in. So it's the same thing. They just keep putting these moderate to left people that they think will win, but no one really likes them. And then the people hold their nose, put them in, and then we got Arlen Specter, and then he became a Democrat and signed Obamacare. And, you know, and it just goes on and on with these bad candidates. It's just the direction and the leaders of these local and state parties. And hopefully this time we can change and actually get people, you know, electing and endorsing real Republicans.
Or how about not endorsing? You know, just not, let's not
endorse, rallying behind that, Republicans, because the problem is that they were always endorsing the wrong candidates.
Well, the ones that
Mitt Romney's and the Arlen Specter.
Yeah, exactly, the weak ones.
And Pat Toomey's.
That's a great, I think, point to dive in a little bit, that I think the pushback you'll get from folks who are either more moderate or maybe they kind of like the power establishment as it exists today within Bucks County Republicanism, they'll say we got to win general elections. And I think that to a lot of people that can be persuasive because you look back and you see, okay, the people who win countywide elections or statewide elections, they're kind of milquetoast. They're kind of boring. Do you guys have experience, again, going all the way back now, like these decades where you've seen or can point to a conservative true candidate at the county level?
Right here, we had, you know, you keep hearing Brian Fitzpatrick and others saying, we're in a purple district, we can't have a conservative run. Brian's brother, Mike, was a middle to the right conservative. And he was great. And he won two times. I think he won twice, then lost to Patrick Murphy, and then came back. Mm-hmm. So we can run a conservative, and that's Brian's brother Mike was a conservative, and win. You know, so we need to start backing them. And you ask anybody, everybody likes Mike Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
You know,
that is a common thing that I hear.
A lot of people think that Brian is him. A lot of people actually don't realize that it's not.
Oh, we would have no idea. Mm-hmm. Both Kiri and I knew the name Fitzpatrick.
That's
it. We had no idea that there's a difference.
And that's it. And that's what a lot of people, they don't realize that Mike's not Brian.
But would you guys believe that nothing fundamentally has changed since Mike Fitzpatrick served to now? Like, the county isn't more purple.
I think we're actually more conservative. We're more conservative now. And it's probably because of Trump than we've ever been since I've been involved with politics.
I think it changed a little bit a few years back because I think a lot of people came down from North Jersey, New York. A lot of people came up from the city. And I think that diluted us a little bit. But I think Trump coming in re-energized conservatives and made them come out a little bit more. But
it was probably more conservative when Reagan was around. But
I wasn't even here.
I wasn't involved in politics then.
I didn't even live here then, yeah.
But when Trump came, this area became more conservative. Because the people who are conservative now speak out.
Well, they felt people. Yeah, they felt bold. I mean, you never saw parades and, you know, stuff like that. They felt like, hey, this guy speaks for me. And then you kind of peek your head out and you're like, wait, that guy thinks like that. Wait, that guy has a Trump sticker. Wait, we think like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, boldness begets boldness.
Was saying things that in his time you just couldn't say and do. It's kind of like he gave a voice to this belief system that is now kind of going mainstream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Elon Musk is buying Twitter and everybody's like, great. Yeah. Finally, we can say what we want.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't be that way. You should feel free to say what you want. Yeah.
Everybody,
I mean, you're not,
should.
Don't like be abusive about it, but you should be able to, you know, say that you're a conservative and you think a certain thing without the fear of being labeled a racist or being doxxed and possibly losing your job. And, you know, it's just, you know.
I know what that's like. Yep.
Yeah, I know you do. Man, I know you. Well, he had a little taste of it a couple of weeks ago, but at that whole thing. But,
and you have, speaking of being a freedom fighter, you had a whole vaccine requirement situation, right, with your job. And how did that all go?
Yeah, well, you know, I work for Merck, and they wanted us all to get the vaccine, and they fought against the religious and medical exemptions. So we had a big rally out front with over 100 people, and Channel 3, 6, 10, 17, Fox News was there. I was interviewed, and, you know, they didn't like it. So, but, you know, a lot of us wound up getting the religious and the medical exemptions, and
some of them did lose their jobs. Then,
yeah, some didn't get it and lost their jobs.
There's like
terrible.
No recognition of natural immunity in this equation.
There is, but you have to, if you have the antibodies, you have to get your doctor to sign. And most doctors didn't want to sign, but people found some doctors that did sign, and they got it. You know, currently we're fighting, you know, the masks. They're still requiring people who are unvaccinated to wear masks and get tested weekly. And we've been fighting that because there's no reason for it. I mean, the whole world stopped COVID except China. And now we're still doing it here in Montgomery County at Merck. It's just not fair.
It's kind of unscientific. I mean, for a company like that to be requiring masks only of unvaccinated, I mean, that's wildly
not
unscientific
recognizing
at this
point. Natural immunity.
And it's crazy because they would give, you guys have every week, you have information about how many cases there were, how many positives, whatever. And, you know,
we're not getting sick. The vaccinated are getting sick.
Right.
We're not.
Uh-oh.
So, you know what I mean? It's like.
And I do remember that rally. That's something that I'd like to call out and kind of commend you on. I remember.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you didn't give yourself enough credit in there, which I get, but you sort of put that, you did a lot of those stuff behind the scenes to make that happen. When you came to me to say like, hey, we're going to have a rally. Can you help spread the word? You came with like an idea. You had written something out that I can't remember if we went and posted it or like helped you get it spread within Reopen Bucks. It was kind of like the way that I really wish a lot of people would have done their types of events. As we move throughout the whole Reopen Bucks story, you know, a lot of people would come to us with ideas for like this big event or that big event, but it's kind of just an idea they're dumping on your plate.
And then you have to set it up or other people.
Yeah. And we got to choose, you know, we only have so much time. So we have to choose like, what are we doing? What are pick your battles sort of thing. But you came to me like with everything buttoned up and we were able to just plug in to try to help spread the word and use the platform. So I thought that was a really good use of the whole thing.
Yeah. Thanks for all your help. That was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
So let's go back to, I mean, the politics equation. I want to better understand and I guess you guys have some background on this, having gone through it for so many years, why is it fundamentally that the county won't accept, you know, a more conservative approach when it comes to, we talked about electing certain candidates, and it seems like all the candidates that get run are very,
I don't know. I hear things from different people saying it's about money, that a real conservative candidate won't be able to bring in the money that the, okay, the more moderate candidates bring in. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it gets frustrating because it's like the conservative base of the party
is being ignored.
Is being ignored.
And not blackballed only that, and sometimes.
Blackballed and
some candidates
and,
are.
You know,
what do you mean by blackballed?
Silenced.
What does that mean?
Andy Meehan, when he ran, he was basically blackballed. You know, the Bucks County Republican Party wouldn't, usually the whole process is the candidates are vetted. They can go to the Bucks County Republican Committee and state their case. He was never allowed that. And then there was some stuff going on, and then he wasn't allowed to do anything, and there was no debate between him and Brian Fitzpatrick, and it went on and on. So he was basically blackballed, and that's what they do to conservative candidates in Bucks County. They don't want them.
That's our experience.
The leadership. Yeah. I mean, the people want them, but so we need new leaders on the state and the county level so we can get real Republicans, real conservatives.
And so we can let the people choose who the nominees will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line, is like everybody just wants a fair shot. Everybody just wants a free, fair election. Mm-hmm. That if people have the qualifications to run and they do go through all the processes of being able to run legally, they should be able to run. They shouldn't be backed by big party money so that they can beat, you know, and because the bottom line is when you've got all that money going, the people in power are orchestrating everything. And then the voters don't really have right. a say. There's no point in voting, honestly.
I mean, I'll just, to be honest with you guys and push back a little bit, I can say from my perspective, it seems like if you want to win general elections in a county that is pretty purple, maybe a little red or a little
we're
blue, but
plus
it's,
three red, so.
So we're Bucks in County. That range where like these are going to be close races at a countywide level. Okay, that means you need moderates in when it comes to the general election. You need independents. You need the middle of the road people. So in the primary, you know, if you allow conservatism to kind of run away, you may wind up with candidates who are not appealing to that middle ground. And, you know, that all that happens is you get your folks through the primary, but then they lose election day.
I disagree with that, because when you look at the Democrats, they're not sitting around and when in their meetings being like, what candidate do we have is going to get the most Republican votes? They're not thinking that. They actually play to their base too much, and they're almost socialist communists now, the people that they're putting out. So, like I said before, Mike Fitzpatrick was a center to the right. We can put a conservative in. We don't have to be the most right-wing person, but we can put a middle-to-the-right conservative and win. It's happened before. And another thing is could you imagine if we were one united Republican Party? I mean, we have like three sectors now. You know, reopen Bucks, we have Right for Bucks, and then we have the Bucks County Republican Committee. If we were all one team, we would probably win everything.
And
but the biggest problem we have is fighting amongst ourselves.
That's absolutely true. But if you think about it, like if we can't win, if a conservative can't win in Bucks, what the heck was going on with all the Trump rallies two summers ago?
Well, that's actually a really good, I mean, let's just go to the numbers here on this conversation. Trump in 2020 lost Bucks County by, I don't know, 6 or 7 percentage points, something. But Fitzpatrick won it by like 13 or 14.
Yeah, but I just, the whole election, I mean, I can't trust any numbers from this last election. I really can't. I mean, ballot drop boxes. Our guy at our meeting the other night, in Warrington GOP meeting, said he was dropping his wife off to drop off her mail, her in-person ballot. And there was a woman there stuffing the box. I mean,
There was lots of problems.
And he said to the guard or whoever was manning it, is like, you have to, and he stayed there until they locked the ballot box.
Mm-hmm.
The GOP guy, the Warrington GOP guy, stayed there until they locked the ballot box. And we're like, you need to lock that up because it's illegal. So I don't know. I mean,
this is a very common, it's a super important point, because I think the perspective from the, I guess, more establishment GOP side is very important here, because those are the people who are like in the Board of Elections when these counts are going on. They're the type of people who go out and get all the mail-ins from the drop boxes and stuff. So they understand those chain of custody issues and how all that stuff works. Conservatives don't. So I think that there's this like, I mean, you're saying it right now, you're showing it. There's this huge distrust in this whole process, right, which there should be. It's a terrible process. Mm-hmm. It's fraudulent. It's obviously insecure. I love that this was like 2020 was the most secure, the most safe, like of all time election. I'm like, this is talk about gaslighting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a setup where, you know, the people who you want the most to bring their energy to the party and get out there, your base, your conservatives, they're the ones who distrust the whole system the most right now. And that's a big problem.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. Yeah. And we hear it a lot from people that, that just don't want to be bothered because they're like, it doesn't matter.
This has been like one of my suggestions to, you know, I keep using these terms, but like establishment or whatever, they know how these work. Like just hop on a Facebook Live and explain to all Republicans in Bucks County, here's what happened. Like talk, you know, just talk through it, just explain it. And that way people can hear it from you. There's a little bit of trust gets built and you won't have all the same discord. Because my big concern was a lot of people are just going to be turning away if they don't trust a system like that. I remember in the immediate weeks after Trump lost, I was like, well, I'm never voting again. Like, what's the point? This is funny money.
A lot of people left the party too.
And so you see what we were able to do last fall with 2021. We swept countywide offices on the GOP side, swept it. So
we clearly can win. You know, I mean, like I said, and we rallied together. I mean, everybody was pushing for them candidates. That's where I'm going. If you had one united party, we can win almost everything here.
Yeah.
You know? Well, this goes to another thing that I'd like to talk through is, I guess, I feel like countywide, when it comes to the countywide races, which were really the row office races for Bucks County last fall, we were 5-for-5. I personally feel like that was truly, honestly driven by school board races.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically in areas where you normally are just Republicans are going to stay home because why does it matter? So places like New Hope, Pensbury, Bristol. Republicans had all the reason in the world to come out because they were really pissed off about school. Mm-hmm. Right. And so even if it's only 500 here, 700 there, 1,000 there, those countywide row office candidates, they only won by a few thousand.
Right.
So literally that seems to me to have been the difference.
Yeah.
And it was never acknowledged, talked about, because to give credit to the whole school board thing is kind of like giving credit to grassroots, which
they don't really want to do.
They want to say they ran the best candidates.
And it was, and I mean, it was moms and dads going to board meetings and meeting these candidates and getting out and knocking doors and getting on Facebook and sharing information and, you know, promoting these candidates, putting signs in yards, you know, stuff like that.
And you had a lot of experience in that because I led in the intro with CBSD Back on Track.
Yep.
I mean, you run that group. So. Yep. How did that come about?
Like, when So that was back in June. It was June 18th that I was on a Central Bucks page and somebody said, we're going to have a meeting. And there was about 8 of us. I zoomed in because I just was doing a million things. So I zoomed into it and it was at Shannon and Jamie Walker was on the meeting and a couple other people. And we had one group that we had going that was a little bit like kind of back and forth. And we thought, okay, we need another group that is strictly about reopening the schools. Not really a lot of discussion about, we need to do this for the teachers. We need to do that. No, we need it to be strictly focused on parents and students and their concerns and their needs. And also community members, not just just because you don't have a kid in the school doesn't mean you don't have stake. Your tax dollars are paying for the school district. It's your community. So you want to produce good citizens in your community and it's your property value. So we started CBSD Back on Track and it was called CBSD. It was called something else, but then I think it was CBSD for a full reopening or something like that. Mm. Well, once we got the schools reopened, then we said Back on Track because then it shifted from getting the schools reopened and getting the kids actually not only just reopened, but actually in school physically and then getting the masks off the kids and then to getting our candidates elected. And now it's focused more on the CRT and the curriculum that's happening in the schools. And
I like the term Back on Track because that's a good brand for denoting that, like, fundamentally, I think what a lot of us wanted in reopen was we just wanted to go back to 2019.
Right.
We're not looking to like crush the opposition and all of these political ideology wars. Like there were always political divides and that's fine. I think in some ways that's healthy, but from March of 2020 on, like, where did all this stuff come from? This crazy, the transgenderism push, all this other stuff.
NEA.
It really came out of COVID and the wild push.
It was the NEA. Becky Pringle said it right in the beginning. I think in July or something, she put out a big statement and she said, we are not going to send our teachers back until we have, you know, equity for all and transgender. I mean, she had a whole list of stuff, of things that she wanted to see happen in the schools before she would encourage her teachers to go back. And I mean, the NEA is, you know, that's CBSD, the PSEA is And CBEA, that feeds into the NEA. Yeah. So we were like, no, I don't think so. No.
Well, I mean, great job with that group. I mean, Central Bucks is honestly like the, obviously they're the leader. They're
we've
the
got,
hero
I mean, well, first
story.
Of all, we've got our hero, JCW, Jamie Cohen Walker. She's unbelievable. We lucked out with her and she's just awesome. She's fearless. I remember one of my first posts in that group was, we need to let's hear it for our hero JCW. She does not stop. She in the face. I mean, and she took a lot of heat in the beginning. She took some serious arrows, and she never wavered. She never wavered. A lot of moms were a little bit like, "Oh, I'm a little scared to say this, scared to say that."
I don't want to lose the mom group.
And the whole thing was, you find yourself suddenly fighting and just completely against people that you used to call friend.
Yeah.
That's what was really hard. It's like, wait a minute. Yeah. I'm thinking of one person in particular. She and I, our kids were involved in stuff together. We used to do stuff together at school and volunteer together. And we were like diametrically opposed. To this day, we don't really talk to each other. I mean, our kids are now out of school, so we don't really see each other anyway, but it was just really sad. So some people were like a little bit hesitant or a lot hesitant to say a whole lot on Facebook in the beginning because they didn't want to upset people and they didn't want to look like a bad guy. Jamie never cared, which I love that. She was like, look, these are my kids and I'm fighting for them. And that's where I took a lot of, I mean, I've kind of always been like that, but she really made me feel even more empowered to be that way. And I remember saying on one of my Facebook posts, these are your children. We have to fight for our children. Nobody else is going to fight for our children. And if you're afraid to do that, then you need to look at yourself and you need to figure that out. You know what I mean? I mean, really.
It's
so,
some real talk right so here.
So, I mean, no, it's serious though. If you're not going to fight for your kids, then you need to just like figure out what you're doing as a parent. Because that, and that's where I'm saying in CBSD, we had a lot of parents who were like that. And
it's
we're
always
very
been,
fortunate.
Even though Central Bucks is the biggest district by far in Bucks, there's always been, like, from a Reopen Bucks perspective, when we've done surveys and stuff where we've gained data points over, okay, where are our people? The most active people who are like going to school board meetings, participating, all this stuff, always widely overrepresented in Central Bucks. I don't know why that is. It's curious. It's Central Bucks and Council Rock. We're like massively overrepresented.
Yeah. I don't know. We've been going to board meetings since like 2010. So, you know, we haven't gone all the time, but we had a couple instances in 2010. And then when the Parkland shooting happened in 2018, there was the big, I know you know about this, the walkout that they were planning. Frank got a whole group of dads together. And they did.
Oh,
they
awesome.
Stopped that. Yeah, they did.
That's
there was
awesome.
About eight dads that went. And
that was one of the few times Kopicki was like, yeah, there will never be a walkout.
And if they do, then
happening, you know, he agreed with us and we stopped it.
Yeah.
You know?
So
good. Well, where do you think it goes from here in terms of those community relationships where friendships have been lost?
I don't know. Hopefully some of them can be repaired, but I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely two different camps. The ones who are staunchly, we're moving forward. Now we're fighting CRT. And then there's others who are, if COVID comes back, we're slapping them out. Well, some of them still have the masks on and they feel like they're going to fight to get the masks back on when the cases pick up again in the fall, which we know they will because that's how it happens in the fall when kids all get back in school and everything. So, and then there'll maybe be some in the middle that now that things aren't as bad, they're kind of like, you know, go back to, I think there's a lot of people who already have kind of like, you know, going back into Philly and participating in all these events. We're very much like not doing anything. Like there's several establishments that we will never set foot in again. A grocery store.
Just
because
they lost your loyalty.
Absolutely. You can't treat people like that. Yeah.
Vax cards.
And then Philly just, you know, forcing businesses to, you know, have vax cards and stuff.
Terrible.
And not only that, I mean, it's pretty dangerous down there now.
This is something I really think a lot on these last few months philosophically as we move towards what's going to be maybe an end of Reopen Bucks. We'll see. It's like you have to come to grips with what happens next. And we obviously don't want people to just feel a fighting spirit forever about this.
Right.
Like people have to go back to normal life. But at the same time, you have to remember the ones that were particularly cruel.
Right.
There was so much cruelty.
Right.
So it's one thing to be on the other side of this. And in some ways you can relate to them, have compassion, just forgive, and we'll all move on. But there was a lot of cruelty going on.
There
too.
Really was. And that's the thing is you can't, if you don't address it or, and I don't want to say punish it, but if you just turn the other cheek all the time, sometimes behavior doesn't change and it keeps happening. And it's like, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying you're going to be rude to somebody or mean to somebody or never talk to somebody, but I would be wary of people.
Yeah.
And certain establishments, I mean, they just will not get my business. Nope. Doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, go out and bash them or pick at them or anything, but.
But the cruelty was worse to the kids.
Exactly.
Little kids with the playgrounds when they shut them down, forcing little kids to wear masks and social distance and
not let kids go to school.
And not only that, terrible.
And not only that,
terrible.
The young people, we had a college student that went to Bucks for 2 years and then he commuted to Temple. He literally transferred to Temple in January of 2020. He was on campus for 8 weeks and then he was in our basement for the next 2 years. Every single semester, all of his classes were online.
And how do we, like, who out there, where do we have that conversation? That experience for that person multiplied out by the millions just like
that's what I'm saying. Because people say, children and all that. And I do. I feel bad for the children. I feel bad really for anybody that was under the age of 30 because it's just horrible. That's the time of your life that, you know, you're meeting people.
Like our daughter whose senior year was ruined.
It was ruined, yeah. And she wanted to go to school and they forced her to wear a mask. And she graduated in 2021. And she froze because they had windows open and all this stuff. So she stayed home her senior year, almost her entire senior year, she stayed home. And I was like, you know what? You do whatever you want. But you know what? She's happy now. So kids are doing good. And So
how about the same question then maybe zoomed out and going back a little bit to the topic of politics in Bucks County?
Yeah.
What happens from here and where do we go? There's this COVID has kind of opened the door maybe, or the last couple of years seem to have opened the door to a change to the way Bucks County, at least on the GOP side, politics work. So what do you guys see is happening here in the immediate future?
I see a lot more people getting involved.
Yep, correct.
For sure.
You already see it right now. Look at everybody that's running. People...
For committee.
And this local committee and state committee for the GOP. There's people that never ever thought they'd run.
And I think a lot of that is because of the 2020 election. Yep.
And they want to get involved.
They don't feel like it was fair.
And go on Facebook and yell, we got to start running for elections. You know, none of us wanted to do it. I'd rather not run, but you have to and get involved because you just can't sit on the sidelines anymore.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. One thing I've learned is it takes a lot of work to win important elections. You need armies. You need people who are willing to hit the pavement and do a lot of that work that's difficult.
Yeah, you have to be bold. You can't be afraid to get involved. But
so this, you know, having a whole bunch of new people come in who have that willingness and energy and drive, can anybody argue that that's bad? Seems pretty good, right? Awesome.
I mean, what I'm seeing them doing, we were talking about this earlier with like the voting drives and stuff. We're seeing people on their own taking voter registration lists to a day a flea market or something and just setting up a table and saying, hey, I'm registering Republican voters. You know,
there was so many more registered Republicans in Bucks County. That's why we have a 17th state committee member. It used to be 8 men, 8 women. Now it's
8 and 9. But there's 17.
So we've had
16.
A lot more Republicans because of COVID and Trump stuff.
Yeah.
In Bucks County,
and people
a
lot of people do want to get involved. I mean, even when we were door knocking for our campaign, when we were first getting signatures to get on the ballot for committee people.
People love
we're talking to people and they're so excited and they're like,
so
please invite
that
me.
You're running.
Please invite me. So we had a Warrington GOP meeting on Monday night and I invited a couple people and they came. And it was great. And they were like, this is awesome. We're gonna keep coming. So I mean, people do want to get involved. Yeah. So
awesome.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what's around the corner, I guess. Big election this year.
Yeah, should be interesting.
Well, awesome. Thanks so much for being a part of this story the whole way through. Like I said,
thanks
there's absolutely no part of Reopen Bucks that didn't include the Mascio Trail.
Thank you. Yeah,
I'm thankful you were a part of it.
It's
thankful
been great
your
knowing
insight.
Your family. Yeah. It's been great watching your little kids and your little Molly being born, little sweetheart. So, yeah, it's been fun seeing you. We see you at rallies and all that stuff. Yeah. So hopefully more of those in the future.
Definitely.
Right? Awesome.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.